For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. How do you do?
Did you forget? Or no, it was just the pause was for emphasis.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
You got to put the right emphasis on the wrong, on the right syllable. Otherwise, it just sounds funny. I am a dramatic actor. Sometimes you just got to, sometimes you got to ham it up a little bit.
Did they teach you that in enunciation class?
As anyone who listens to this show knows, my enunciation, C minus the best. All right?
Did you actually have an enunciation class?
I did not, but
I know there are some people who went to those, so I just, you know.
I did not. However, I did spend 1 year in the Thespian Club. I was an actor, and in said club, we did have a dialect coach in which I was taught to speak using the diaphragm, speak from deep down in your belly, and make sure that you project what you need to say.
I'd like to have words with that person, guy, girl, whoever.
It was a guy.
And tell him that what a wonderful job he did with teaching Rob Brown how to project.
Mr. Jameson.
Way to go, Jameson.
Mr. Jameson.
I'm sure he, if he's still around, is very proud.
I don't know if he is or isn't. What I can tell you is he said to me one time, there is a difference between projecting and being loud. And I didn't take that to heart at all. All right? There's projecting, and then there's being loud. And they're different things.
Yeah, don't do that projecting thing anymore because that causes distortion.
When once I watched football, my life changed forever. Versus, let me tell y'all what Clemson's got to do to beat Georgia.
Daggum.
Joe Blau says, establish the run, don't turn the ball over.
Hmm. You think Cade is spent the whole summer, you know, just like holding onto the ball while, you know, you've seen it in movies or TV shows, in actual football practices where people try to knock the ball out of the quarterback's hands?
Hold on to the ball.
Wonder if they do up, downs, or sprints every time there's a turnover in practice. I mean, it's college football. It's college football. They don't do that in college football, right?
No, some teams definitely do. Some teams definitely do.
Make them run stadiums.
Here is.
You don't want to do that in where the Clemson Tigers play. That's steep.
Golly, is it
steep. Imagine come back down running stadiums in that. No.
I had been to a couple of games at Memorial. At Death Valley. But because I'm me, I always got access to the elevator behind the scenes. Panther Fan Day was the first time I ever had to actually take the stairs in the stands, you know, where the normal people sit. And
well, trust me, having sat up there, and it's the reason why I can't stand Clemson, they are not normal. If they are, then all my thoughts about Clemson are absolutely true.
I had to take the ramps in the stands where the normies sit. And I have to tell you, ultimate respect to people who buy season tickets in the nosebleeds, because I assume that you are Quadzilla. You and Phil Moffa probably have the same leg strength at this place.
So the guy who took you up there, was he breathing heavy at all? Was he just like, you know, it's like a normal day to him?
I can't really answer that, to tell you the truth, because we only did, so in fairness, we only did the bottom bowl. We didn't go all the way to the top.
Oh, so you have no idea.
Yeah,
really.
I still haven't been to the top, but what I do know is I stood on the field, and I stood on the field at the wall on the Clemson sideline and looked up, and it's like the dude sitting in the top row is just straight above
you.
Yeah,
I've been up there. It's not pleasant.
Yeah, it's like it's damn near 90 degrees straight up. Let's talk a little bit about this game, Clemson v. Georgia, coming up on Saturday.
Which will not be in that stadium.
Will not be in that stadium. It will be in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta, Georgia, and I will start with, and we don't need to hang on it.
Is that where the Falcons play?
That is where the Falcons play.
Okay.
I won't hang on it because it theoretically shouldn't have any impact on the game, but it does, and that is crowd size. I don't know what it's going to look like. In an ideal world, it's 50-50. Half is purple and orange, the other half is red and black. In the real world, I'm suspecting it's going to be like 65-35 Georgia fans.
Yeah, this is a true test of whether Clemson believes or not by looking at the crowd, because they travel well. Clemson fans will go just about anywhere to watch their team play. And this being fairly close, do they believe that Clemson can beat Georgia? I think crowd size has something to do with belief.
I would like to agree with you, but I'm going to hesitate to do so for one reason, and it is that there is a difference between...
You just don't want to be right.
No, I do like being right. That's why I do it all the time. There is a difference between I believe in my team and I'm going to buy a ticket versus people who bark at other grown adults having the right to buy tickets.
Okay. So you're saying that there's fear. There's no fear in a Clemson fan.
No, they're not afraid. No.
Well, if someone barks at you, you're not afraid of them?
No.
You don't think that maybe they're a little bit psychotic or something?
No, that's not what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Georgia fans right now, and it makes sense because their team is, if it's not already, is sitting on the threshold of becoming dynastic, and with Nick Saban being gone, they now believe that they can be and will be. I am saying right now, and this is not meant as an insult to Clemson fans, though Lonzo's going to do his best to spin it that way, Georgia fans, in terms of their fervor right now, are on a different damn level than everybody else and are probably willing to put a lot more money on the table for a game that they are a 14.5 point favorite in than Clemson fans are right now. And that's not to say Clemson fans lack a belief in their team so much as it's meant to say that Georgia fans have exactly and precisely zero belief that they're doing anything other than kicking everybody's ass this year.
Did that line go back up? Because I thought it went down. Is it still?
No, it didn't go down.
Okay.
All right. Let me go look and see. I'll go look and see what it is today. Florida State's line went from 13.5 down to 10.5, and the large part of that was because of exactly what Rob Brown said. Georgia Tech is going to be in this game down to the very end. That game on Saturday is Georgia minus 13.5. So it has come down a point. It has come down 1 point. It was 14.5, now down to 13.5. And by the way, while it has come down a point, the actual odds have shifted. It was minus 14.5 with both teams at minus 110. It is now Georgia minus 13.5 at minus 115 and Clemson at minus 105. So it is down a point, but it is down a point, but a little bit more juice towards the Georgia Bulldogs in this one, which means that either the money is still trickling in on Georgia, or Vegas is just confident that Georgia will be more likely to win by 14 than 13. So, I am not going to say that the crowd size is going, if it does tilt Georgia, and being in Atlanta, I'm going to assume that it will. I don't think it has any indication on what Clemson fans think about their team. I think it is more of what Georgia fans think about theirs, because it's one thing to spend $150 on a ticket to go see a football game when your team is a two-tutty fave than it is as a two-tutty dog. But put that to the side. We asked John Blau in the last segment, by the way, if you missed our weekly interview with John Blau from the Post and Courier, who covers Clemson athletics up close and personal-like, right after the show is over, all 4 hours of the show are made available to you in podcast form at thefanupstate.com. Go to the website, click on the podcast button, drop it down to the Rob Brown Show. All 4 hours will be posted there. You may also follow the show on Spotify, Apple, Google Pod, wherever you find your podcast. Follow the Rob Brown Show there, and you can get all 4 hours sent directly to your phone via the podcast branded media of your choice. Now, all those things put to the side, all those things said, all those things talked about, let us get into the X's and O's of the game. Lonzo and I have both said, and I think accurately and correctly, that this season goes as Cade Klubnik goes. This season goes as the results you get out of QB1. Did he develop? Did he get better? Did he get more comfortable? Did he get into a rhythm and a routine? All of those questions, frankly, may or may not be answered on Saturday, because Georgia's defense is very, very good. It is fast. It is big. It is aggressive. It is ruthless at the point of attack. And Cade is going to be pretty much under assault from the get, right? This defense is coming for you. I think when we say, or at least for me, and I'll throw my thoughts out there, and we'll kick it over to the great one for his analysis. I think when I say, did Cade get better? We also have to, as I said earlier in the show, take into consideration the context of what that means. The context of how that needs to happen. You could have the greatest all-American quarterback in the history of college football. If he's playing behind an offensive line that stinks, or is good but is getting whooped by an all-American caliber defensive line, it may not be on the quarterback. I'm not saying that we will or will not be able to get a good read on what Cade Klubnik is in game number one. I'm saying keep your mind open to the possibility that Cade Klubnik has a bad game, but you still have to push the pause button on a Cade Klubnik evaluation. If Cade Klubnik comes back and next Monday we are sitting in these chairs having a conversation about the results of that game and Cade Klubnik's numbers stink, what I'm saying is we need to make sure we are looking at it through the prism of the opponent he is up against. However, let us not say that the results are unimportant. The results of this game are important. Why are the results of this game important? Because Georgia may very well be the, if not one of the top two or three teams in college football. According to the Vegas betting lines, they are the best team in college football. Or I should say, according to the Vegas betting lines, they are the most believed in team in college football. Georgia's going to be exceptional. If Cade Klubnik and the Clemson Tigers believe that they are indeed a playoff caliber team, a team that can win the Atlantic Coast Conference and find themselves in an ACC title game at the end of the year, well, if they make it into the playoffs, they are going to be facing Georgia-like competition. They may not have to play a team that is as good as Georgia, because if they end up with the, let's say, 2 or 3 seed, in round one, they will get the 2nd or 3rd lowest rated seed available in round two. They may get stacked up against a BYU. They may get stacked up against a Cincinnati. They may get stacked up against a team that is good, but none of us really think they're up there with the quality of a Georgia or an Ohio State or an Oregon. They win that game, then they will, right? Then they will. When it goes from 12 teams down to 8 teams and 8 teams down to 4 and 4 down to 2, that is when they most likely will get squared up against the team that is the quality of a Georgia Bulldog. Now, the nice thing is there's a lot of football between here and there. There are some challenging road tests. There are some challenging home games. Clemson will have, effectively, 12 games to get right, 13 if they catch a favorable draw in the first round of the play. Well, second round of the playoffs if they win the ACC. First round of the playoffs if they do not win the ACC, but only lose a game and still find themselves in the competition. Which way will that go? No idea. We'll find out. This game on Saturday, I think, will be a referendum on the run game. I think it will be a referendum on the offensive line. I think it will be a referendum on the growth and development of the wide receivers. I think it will be a referendum on the defensive line and linebackers. I think it will be a referendum on the defensive backs. However, all of those referendums are directly connected to other stuff. All of those referendums are directly connected to other groups. And I would say Cade more than any of them. Cade Klubnik, when he gets the snap, the referendum on Cade will start with a referendum on the offensive line. Are they able to keep Georgia's defensive line, which is created with a bunch of monsters? Will they be able to keep him upright and protected from a Georgia defensive line? If my man is getting Bryce Young'd, that is, getting the snap and immediately under assault from a group of very large individuals that wear numbers in the 70s, I don't know that it will be a fair referendum on Cade Klubnik. If Cade Klubnik is getting the snap and is protected from a large group of monsters wearing numbers in the 70s and is having dropsies by his wide receivers, that may not be a referendum on Cade Klubnik. We will then have to dive in. Okay, are they, yeah, they're open, but are they good passes? Are they overthrown and underthrown? Are they lasered, blistered in there when they need to be finesse or vice versa? Is he leaving guys out to get hung up to dry? There's a lot of questions that can be answered, but all of these things are directly connected to other individuals on the football field. So I don't know that we will get, I'm not saying we will not, I'm saying I don't know if we will get a fair referendum on where Cade is when they are opening with the baddest dudes in the game in week one.
I think we will to one degree. Don't fumble the ball. Don't throw it to the other team.
Very fair. Very fair. We'll talk more about this game when we come back. Also, Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth last night during the Sunday night game, Patriots and Commanders, came up with a very interesting philosophy regarding the opportunity to make the NFL preseason great again. Do they do it? I'll tell you the thought that he put together, and we will talk about whether or not we like it when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So the NFL's preseason this year has been received with a lukewarm enthusiasm by the majority of NFL fans. And it's understandable why. Because the overwhelming majority of sports fans, and I am not saying this with any negative connotation at all. As Lonzo and I have said many times over, it is an entertainment industry. Sports is an entertainment industry. We want to be entertained. And everybody is entertained by different things. Some people are entertained by legitimately, genuinely great competition on the field. People doing wildly athletic things that we are incapable of even understanding.
You know, we can say something that a lot of you can't say. Sports are our life, because that's why we're here.
Correct.
The three-time. sports show of the year in the state of South Carolina.
Correct. But even we, as a part of the big sports industrial complex, we are here as entertainers, first and foremost.
I hope so. I mean, because if we're not, you know.
Yeah. That's not true. I could be here as an analyst because I know ball. But we are here primarily as entertainers. Our job is to entertain
the. You know what I heard there? That analysts are boring and not entertaining. That's what I heard.
No.
That's what
it's
I
heard. No. It's just that not everybody is entertained by analysis, right? Like, yeah, not everybody gives a damn about the numbers.
Like me and us, right. Us casuals.
Exactly right. Not everybody is entertained by the numbers. Some people want to be entertained just by playing the game. Some people like to be entertained by the human interest stories that are out there. Oh, this kid had such a hard path growing up, and now he's the starting quarterback. That's what they're compelled by. Some people are compelled by the celebrity aspect of it. Imagine, think about how many people out there are wearing Travis Kelce jerseys who never gave a damn about the Chiefs, but then Travis hooked up with Tay-Tay, and now they're big fans because of the celebrity angle. You'd be entertained by whatever aspect of the game you want to be entertained by. For sure, it is an entertainment industry. I am not pushing back on that. Which is why I think there is going to be, moving forward, a relatively dramatic effort to make the NFL's preseason more entertaining. Because unless you are a fan of the X's and O's, unless you are primarily entertained by the analysis, unless you are primarily entertained by constructing a depth chart, your wish list of backups and reserved, which I would imagine is probably not the majority of NFL fans, the preseason doesn't really hold anything for you, right? When you tune into a game and you see twos and twos, threes v threes, it's not going to be the best football. And as we have displayed as Americans 1,000 times and 1,000 times again, we're going to watch best we can watch. That's why the UFL isn't unsuccessful because of the calendar or the schedule or any of that. It's unsuccessful because it pales in comparison to the quality of football that is on display on Sundays during the fall. The reason the NFL is still outdrawing and always will outdraw college football on a weekly basis isn't because we don't love college football. It's because the majority of fans want to watch the best a thing can be, and the NFL is purely football, better football. That's it. That's the end of it. So, Tirico and Collinsworth last night on a little Sunday night football were having a conversation about how you can make the preseason great again. How can you make the preseason good, entertaining, compelling? And this is what Tirico had to say. And I found it a somewhat good idea. I'm not going to play the recording of it because he just kind of went on for a hot minute about it. But basically what Tirico said was this. Remember how last week, leading up to the Panthers v. Bills preseason game, we discussed Lonzo wanting very badly to see the Carolina Panther starters take to the field? And I said, yeah, I mean, I get it. Me too. But let's also not forget here that, you know, this is about Canales having the opportunity to see backups, see depth guys, see guys that he can rotate onto the field when somebody gets hurt, somebody's having a real bad day, whatever. And then we had 2 weeks ago when we did not see the starters. And the question was, why? Why didn't we see the starters? And the answer was because the starters in the week leading up to the Jets preseason game, the starters for the Panthers and the starters for the Jets played a scrimmage on Thursday in joint practice. They went 11v11 in a controlled scrimmage, a scrimmage where the coaches said, here's what we're going to do in the scrimmage. We're going to do X amount of open field offense, X amount of goal line offense, X amount of goal line defense. We're going to put you guys up against another NFL team in real football scenarios, but in a controlled environment. Tirico said, what if instead of having full preseason games, where all these coaches are having these 11-on-11 joint practice scrimmages on Thursday and not playing their starters. What if instead of those Thursday scrimmages, what if instead of having a pure preseason game, we had that joint 11-on-11 controlled scrimmage as the preseason game, right? And instead of having that behind closed doors on a Thursday afternoon, what if instead you did one last day of joint practice? You did one last day of joint practice, and that controlled scrimmage was a part of the final practice, which is the preseason game. And his idea was this, so that everybody got a crack at seeing everything. For one half, like an hour, you have that 11-on-11 controlled scrimmage. This is, by the way, what they're doing in college ball right now, right? You can tune in.
I was
going to
say, so this is just a, you want it to be spring games. That's what he wants.
Basically, yeah. So he said you do one half like they're doing with the spring games. They're putting it on TV. They're talking to the guy. See, here's how I think you do it. Instead of just going 11-on-11 controlled scrimmage, you mic up the coaches. You mic up Sean McVay. You mic up Dave Canales. You mic up Dennis Allen. You mic these guys up, and you have them either give interviews or you just have the audio of them coaching what they want to coach up, right? And you bring the fans onto the field. You send a reporter down there with a mic, and she's walking player to player, guy to guy, and asking questions. Hey, Jadeveon Clowney, you just went out there and had a sack in the controlled scrimmage. Talk to me about what happened. And you never have to stop the action. It's just a scrimmage practice. You do that for like an hour, and then you play one half, a second half, which is the backups. Then you send them out there to actually play football. So now, those of you that want to be entertained by the starters, you get 60 minutes of actually seeing the starters play. See a controlled scrimmage where you don't have to throw your quarterback in front of a full live-action defense, but your fans do get to see Bryce Young throw some passes, do get to see Bryce Young conduct a two-minute drill, do get to see. On top of that, I would even argue it's more compelling because now, even though I want to see Bryce Young play a game, I think you meet the casuals and the hardcores in the middle, right? Because they want to see Bryce Young throw and see the Panthers receivers catch and see the blocks and the runs and the tackles and all that. But on the flip side, guys like me who don't just want to see football, but want to see specific things. I want to know, and I still don't think we, in fact, I know we don't get to know. I want to see Bryce Young's comfort level leading a two-minute drill offense. What's going to happen if BY9 and the offense get the ball back down three with a buck 37 left to play and 75 yards to go, 70 yards to go to score a tutty? I want to know the composure level of Bryce Young. Well, guess where I can see that? In a simulated two-minute drill scrimmage against the starters for the Jets. And I don't have to worry about BY getting shattered by a defensive line. You put him in the red no-contact jersey, and we run it out there, right? Touch on the pads, it's a sack. I think you meet in the middle, and then the second half, then you run your twos and threes out there, and you let them play a game. Now the fans get a game, and the hardcores get to see what they want to see, and the casuals also get to watch the ones. That's kind of, I actually like that plan from Tirico and Collinsworth. I don't know if the coaches will go for it, because that is, a full 30 minutes less of football per week that they get to see depth, see the backup guys. But if you are truly wanting to meet the fans in the middle, if you are truly wanting to put out a product that compels people to watch it, instead of playing these preseason games in half-empty stadiums and on TV channels that don't have anybody watching them, because nobody cares, I feel like meeting fans in the middle is a good way to do it, and I feel like this is a good way to meet them in the middle. I actually really like this plan from Tirico and Collinsworth.
Yeah, it'll never happen, though. Just won't happen.
Why?
I don't like it anyway. I'd rather see a preseason game.
You complained all preseason long. You didn't say a word about good until we saw the starters.
By the way, preseason's still better than that idea, whether I complained about it or not, because ain't nobody going to see that.
I disagree. I think people would. Why wouldn't they? You get both. You get to buy a ticket. You get to go see Bryce and Deontay and all these guys.
You want me to pay to come see practice, not a preseason game.
No, you're also going
to
get the preseason game.
But you want me to come see practice.
I'm giving you both. I'm giving you 1 hour of seeing Bryce and Deontay and TMJ and Chuba Hubbard and the starting O-line, and then I'm giving you 60 minutes of football or 45 minutes of actual football. Play two 20-minute halves. Right? Play 20 minutes, take a break, play 20 minutes. You're getting both. Let's scratch that. You ain't bought a damn ticket to go see the twos and threes, so what's it matter if you wouldn't buy a ticket? It ain't for you.
On behalf of the casuals, I say nay.
The casuals aren't going. That's the point. You already aren't going, so what? This change doesn't matter to you.
Just like how you aren't going to break when you hear the music.
Yeah, but you said something I had to fix. It's important. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. Out of the gate, woof. One. I sat down yesterday to watch the New Orleans Saints preseason contest against the Tennessee Titans. And there were a couple of things I wanted to see. Did not see the starters out of the New Orleans Saints yesterday, as we don't see the starters for a lot of, if not most, of the teams in week three. Did see them for a few, Carolina included in that number. You know what I wanted to see? The Saints have a very, very interesting situation that they find themselves in. That very interesting situation that they find themselves in is that they have a quarterback debate going on. It's not for QB1. That belongs to future Hall of Famer Derek Carr. But QB2. That quarterback debate is between the guy that they took in the draft last year, Jake Haener, and the guy that they took in the draft this year, Spencer Rattler, the former South Carolina Gamecock. I'm going to tell it's an interesting discussion because Jake Haener has a year of experience in the NFL. Jake Haener has a year under the Dennis Allen coaching regime. Jake Haener has got time served. Spencer Rattler is just getting into it. He is just finding his way. He is just getting into the groove. So which of these guys do you go with? I am going to tell you, I think it'll be Spence. And not just because you will all recall that before the draft happened, not after my Saints got him, before the draft happened, I said Spencer Rattler is the steal of the draft. Somebody's going to get this kid in the fourth, fifth round, and they are going to turn him into a stud. And I got, oh, Rob, you're just homering it up. You're a Gamecock fan. You're just homering it up. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold your gosh darn horses for just a minute. I said, I'm not saying this because I genuinely feel that way. And then, not 12 hours after I said it, RG3, former ESPN employee, came out and said it. Who was it? What's the draft guy's name for ESPN?
Kiper?
Mel Kiper came out and said it. Like, a bunch of dudes said it after I said it. No, I'm not claiming that I am a big-time social media influencer, even though I am. I'm saying it because my point was, I don't say things, unlike some people. Not you. I was talking about somebody else who...
I was looking at that thing from earlier, and you're right.
My big gray hair streak?
Yeah, just
my rogue streak?
I'm noticing it now that the lighting is better.
I got a big old gray hair streak right there in the front.
Yeah.
Lonzo said it's lighting. No, it's not. It's the same.
Well, I will tell you, I bet people in the stream think you just dyed one piece of hair.
I did not. Apparently, over the weekend, I just got a gray streak right in the front of my head. Anyway, I don't say things.
That's what you got from dealing with all the repair places, man.
Honest to God, that might be what it is. I don't say things just for the sake of getting a reaction out of a fan base. That's too easy. I'd rather say something that gets me a reaction out of all the fan bases. It's better for my job, my career, right? I said it because I genuinely think people did not understand just how difficult it was for Spencer Rattler to have any form of success for the Gamecock team that he spent a couple of years playing for. He stood out to me on a team that he had no business, nobody had any business standing out on. So, I thought it was still the draft. And I think my dude put it on display for the New Orleans Saints this weekend. I think he put on display why I will make the gamble now. If Derek Carr gets in any way, shape, or form banged up this year, Spencer Rattler will start for the New Orleans Saints, not Jake Haener. Because the guy was dealing yesterday.
Is that all of it, or is part of it, if they're fairly even, do you go with the guy that the crowd enjoys more?
No, because as I've said a million times, and it is a good thing for the NFL, you do not make decisions based on what the fans want. That's a stupid way to win your franchise. Real bad way to run a franchise. That's a good way to ruin a franchise.
So you don't put up a social media poll to all the fans. Hey, who would you pick? And then whoever wins, you go with that.
That is
person.
Correct. Okay. Wonderful in sports talk radio, terrible for running an NFL franchise. I will say this. What I would do is if Derek Carr gets banged up, I'm going to Spence Rattler depending on where this team is at that point in the season. If the offensive line is as tragic as I think it's going to be, much like I said with BY last year, much like I've said with Drake May for the Patriots this year, I'm not throwing that guy out there. I'm not throwing that guy out there behind a garbage offensive line to get massacred by the NFL for no reason. If that is what I'm doing, I'll throw Jake Haener out there and let that guy take the lumps. But I will say this. Spence looked real good this weekend. Like, real good this weekend. And if he looks real good this weekend, I'd like to see him get some opportunities in the regular season here and there.
Despite not getting as many wins as they should have gotten last year for South Carolina, him staying in school one more year really helped him. And he got on a team where there's a good shot that he's a quarterback there a couple of years from now.
Yep. And by the way, has time to develop. Nick Saban was right when he said on Hard Knocks, episode one of the Bears edition, he said, and I quote, "I don't know if you guys know that guy, Rob Brown, down in Greenville, South Carolina, but he knows ball, and I agree with him when I say the downfall of many, if not most, rookie quarterbacks is the fact that they have pressure heaped upon them, and they are thrown in with no time to get up to speed in the NFL." Part of the reason Spence is in a great spot is because he's got time. He ain't QB1. The expectations aren't on him yet. He's got time to learn, to process, to develop, to get up to speed with the NFL. He's going to have at least a number of weeks, if not a season, to get developed because I think that he has got the opportunity to be right there in the mix.
So if Saban was right on that, was he right Saturday on game day when he said he had nothing to do with and neither did Herb Street have anything to do with Florida State not making it in the playoffs last year?
Oh, no, he was very wrong about that. He's very wrong about that. I did love.
Took me a while to figure out why Herbie was getting booed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
I knew that was happening before it started.
When he talks, I always boo in my head anyway because he's such a Clemson shill, but you know.
What I shall say about this is big ups to my guy Seamus, who when they were talking about it during the pick segment at the end of game day, and they were asking him, who's your pick to win the ACC? He picked Florida State. Wrong call. Already told you they weren't going to, but he picked FSU, and then he gave it to Herb Street. He's like, oh, Kirk, didn't you have something to do with how their season ended? I was like, oh, Seamus going to get in trouble, and I'm here for it, fella. Absolutely adored that.
I will say Desmond Howard looks so smug sitting over there because he wasn't getting booed and watching Herb Street get booed when Desmond Howard gets booed everywhere he goes.
Every time Herb opened his mouth, the fans gave it to him, and it was awesome.
You know, I'm a little disappointed. I thought Florida State would have a little more Dom-like heat. I mean, that kind of sound where Herb Street could not get any words in.
Did you, I
had to explain to my wife what that backdrop was. I was like, so they don't hit them with stuff.
That's exactly what it was.
No, I know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I also will say that the fact that the fan base was all over Herbie was absolutely hysterical to me, all right? Because I have no sympathy. I have no sympathy at all. That was hilarious to me. I also love that Sheamus got on him about it. That was hilarious to me. And you can say what you want, because not everything is for everybody. But McAfee in the game getting absolutely blitzed on the Friday pod at the brewery was the funniest television I've seen in a very long time.
It was, you know what, you want to get drunk on the air, that's one thing. But when you throw up on the air, that's something totally different.
Hilarious.
And you could, AJ Hawk looked so uncomfortable.
He was.
How do I fix this? And there was no way he could figure out how to fix it. The guests were off put because they didn't know how to handle his slurring questions. I disagree with you. I think he's going to be in some kind of trouble, and he probably should.
They knew good and damn well exactly they were signing up sending him.
He drank 30. Rob, that's too much.
No, it's too much to you. It seemed like a great amount for Pat McAfee.
Obviously, it was too much for him too.
Here's the thing. The show ain't for you then. Don't watch it.
Okay.
I loved it.
Despite your pointing, I bet he apologizes today. All right. The first thing that's Xing is Ricochet.
Ricochet is Xing because the former WWE, not quite superstar, is now an AEW superstar, entered into the AEW prism this past Sunday when he joined the Casino Royale Gauntlet match, I believe is what they titled it. Came out, did his flippy spinny stuff, and here's what I hope. I hope that AEW utilizes him the way that WWE started to utilize him when he first got there and then stopped. Because the dude's good.
We'll see.
And also Samantha Irvin.
Who is still in WWE. So looking forward to Wednesday to see what happens with that. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Spider-Man 4.
Spider-Man, the fourth edition of Spider-Man. Spider-Man 4 Xing because we are starting to get a little information about what this movie might shape up to be. I assume that there is going to be some sort of continued connection to the multiverse, but I'm also sure that they are going to start working it more into the in-depth aspect of the universe, including bleeding over more back into the new Avengers / I think Thunderbolts edition.
All right, so people are kind of upset because according to leaks, it's going to be another multiverse thing, but it's going to be between Doom and Secret Wars. So it's going to link those two.
Why would they be upset about that?
I don't know. Some people are just that way. All right, the next thing is Xing is Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch. Actually, do not know why Becky Lynch is Xing. I'm going to say it's because it's her birthday and she is 40.
I don't think she's that old, but no, she is Xing because of Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter, as I predicted, showed up. She didn't do what I thought she would do. She showed up, but she has Becky Lynch hair.
She does. I saw that.
And what she was wearing, everything. So
I am just simply going to say that Jamie Hayter is a redhead.
She beat the mess out of Saraya. So.
Jamie Hayter as a redhead had me feeling some kind of way. That's all I'm going to say.
I was thinking, is that her natural color? Because it looks good on her. That's what I was thinking. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice trending because the Kansas City Chiefs, do they really sign Juju? Is that true?
This is why it's trending, because Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Juju, and Xavier Worthy. How's that for your And throw in Kelsey? How's that for?
We don't know yet.
And throw in Pacheco? How's that for receivers?
We know what Pacheco can do. We know what Kelsey can do. Hollywood Brown is a guy who occasionally suffers from bouts of the dropsies. I don't know if that will afflict him with Mahomes throwing in the ball. Maybe, maybe not. Xavier Worthy is a guy who's looking in preseason. I don't know what he looks like against one defenses. We're going to find out. This is not saying they will be bad. It's saying we'll find out. And correct me if I'm wrong. Did you personally not on Juju before he left you last time? Yes, you did. So let's not be like, oh, now Juju's great again. Because when he left, you were like, good, he's gone, he sucks.
Yeah, but I also knew he'd be back because all those receivers, they leave, like Mecole Hardman, and then they come back because Andy's like, yeah, come on back. I know how to use you. Nobody else does. And finally, the last thing that's Xing is Joe Milton.
Joe Milton Xing because Joe Milton might be a freaking stud. And
says he can throw the ball 97 yards, by the way.
For the record, I actually kind of believe
and
him.
And he's working on being able to throw it 100.
I kind of believe him. The kid has a cannon. He has a howitzer for a right arm. Do not be shocked if Joe Milton's on that roster to start the year and Jacoby Brissett is not. They might take two rooks into the season this year. Probably not. But they might. All right, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. Texture said, correction, future Hall of Famer, Spencer Rattler. I hope so, Texture. I really do. That's it for us. Hope you all have a great rest of your day. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again, but better, and one day closer to College Football Week 1 on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.